Let us start the meeting this evening with hymn number 29 in our little book, hymn sheet. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, "He must be born again." Number 29.
A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master may answer in words true and plain, "He must be born again. He must be born again.
Conference here, blessed God, and we have this privilege of giving out the old story of Jesus and his love. Oh, our God, we thank thee for thy wondrous heart of love that yearns over this world. We look to thee, Father, for thy help now, that thou wouldst just undertake in through the little time we have together here. We pray about it, Lord. We need thee, and we ask in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing another short couple of ones there in the back. I like seeing children. So let's sing a couple of these ones at the very back. How about number 41? Around the throne of God in heaven.
Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will every anthem spring, singing glory.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 14. I think this gospel is going to be a little different tonight. I'll explain that in a minute. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 19. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding than by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote down here for us. I'd rather speak five words. You have five fingers, five toes, two hands with five. Now there are several little expressions in the Bible that are just five words. I know some. I don't have very many of them. I need some help tonight. I want to know if there's some others, especially younger ones, if you can help me find five words. We're going to turn to a few of them, and perhaps a little bit later I'll be asking. We already sang about one of the five words in the Bible. Who knows what five words we sung in the Bible that Jesus said? Any of you young people or children, you can put up your hand and tell me if you remember. What five words did we sing about that are found in the Bible? Oh, yes. Right. Do you know where that's found in the Bible? Can anybody help me where that is found in the Bible? I know a lot of the older people know, but what about the younger ones? Who knows where those five words are found in the Bible? I see a hand. John 3. Let's turn to it. What verse is it? Thank you. Can you read it for us? Yeah. Who said those words? Yes. Jesus did. Who did he say them to? Yeah. Sorry? Nicodemus. Yes. You know when Nicodemus, he came to Jesus. And he came at nighttime. Every word of God is pure, and God puts these things in his Bible, in this book for us. And I think he came at nighttime because he didn't want anybody else to see him. But he came to the right person. And he had some things to say to Jesus. And the Lord went very direct to him. And he said those five words. Ye must be born again. You know, I can recall when I was very young, we had these little Sunday school cards that had place for, if I recall, 13 stickers to put on them. And so the teacher would put these stickers on each week, and one of the first ones that I had to learn was that verse, John 3 and 7, ye must be born again. What did Jesus mean when he said that to Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a man who was older. I don't know exactly what age he was. Maybe 40, maybe 50, maybe 30, I don't know. But what did the Lord mean when he said to him, Nicodemus, ye must be born again? You know what I believe the Lord was saying to him? Nicodemus, you've been a pretty good man in your life for other people, but it's no good to help you to get to heaven. What you need, Nicodemus, is a brand new life. Ye must be born again. Now we're going to turn to two or three or more, and I don't even know what order to do these in, but I'd like to turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There are many five words in the Bible. As a matter of fact, I've never, you know, when our children were young, we put up a little paper on a bulletin board, and we asked them to, when we discovered five words, we asked them to take and write them down on the board. And it was surprising when we were going through why little five words would be picked up here and there. And this is one of the five words in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 3. Who can find the five words that I want to bring out here? Oh, aren't they nice words? Christ died for our sins. You know, I was in a store just recently. A lady did the alterations, bought a pair of pants and had to be short. And I gave her one of these little Christian calendars. Little wallet calendars. And you know the verse that's on the little wallet calendar? For God so loved the world. Well, didn't take long to find out she was a Christian. So we talked about that verse a little bit. And you know what she said to me was? He died for our sins. Oh, was I so glad to hear her say that. And there's a reason why we say that. Christ died for our sins. Why did Jesus die for our sins? Why did he? Well, because the wages of sin is death. When a person sins, the Bible says, have to die. Have to die. And Jesus says, I'll take your place. I'll die for you. And so he came into this world. He walked here for 33 years. He showed who he was, and man showed who he was. And they took him and they nailed him to a cross. Said, we don't want you. Hung them up between heaven and earth, and we're basically saying to God, we don't want them. We're sending them back. But Christ died for our sins. He loved you so much, he was willing to die for you. You know, I know a lot of you folks have seen these three crosses that have been assembled in many places in the United States. I think it's about in 30 different states that they have them in now. There's about 2,000 of them. I phoned and I've talked to the people. And it was a man started that about 1985. And they go around and they ask people if they can. This man, he came to know Christ. He made quite a bit of money in this world. I think he lived in Tennessee, coal country. And he made quite a bit of money. And he decided he was going to take and stop this work, and he was going to erect these crosses. And he did. And had some people help him and asked people about taking and using some of their property in a place that was near the road. And so I remember the first time I saw this going through some of the southern states, I couldn't believe it. Saw a center cross, a little higher than the others, and a cross on either side. And a little bit later, one would be set back a little bit from the road. Goes a distance more, and here's another one that was set up. And they put those crosses up. You know why they put them up? A silent message to the people who pass by of the three crosses of 2,000 years ago, how Jesus came into the world and died. Christ died for our sins. They had many stories to tell about what had happened when people had stopped. Told me one story about a truck driver. I don't remember the details. They didn't get too much. It was on the phone. I was talking to this man, and he told me about this truck driver that he'd lost his wife. She died, and then he just found out that his daughter had some serious illness. And he couldn't sleep. He was driving this tractor trailer. He pulled over the side of the road and he couldn't sleep. And he started down the road again, 2 o'clock in the morning, and this particular three crosses that were erected there was illuminated. Dark night. He looks over and what's he see? Three crosses. Stops his truck at the side of the road and he kneels down there. I don't know what his exact words were. Does God speak through the cross today? Yes, he does. You know when Jesus was on the cross 2,000 years ago that he was thinking of you? And he was thinking of me? Somebody had to die for my sins. And he said, David, I'll take your place. And he did. And he died for me. So Paul writes here to these people, and he says, Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Well, that's another five words. Let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 10. Before I read any verse, before I tell you any verse, I'm going to ask if any of you young folks can see five words here, anywhere in this chapter. I'll tell you this much, it comes after verse 10. Oh, that girl's got her hand up again. Yep. Oh, isn't that a good one? Who said those words? God's Son. What was his name? Jesus. I am the good shepherd. No shepherd like that shepherd. who gave his life for the sheep. Did Jesus die for you? Yes. You know what it tells us over in Isaiah in the Old Testament? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. Oh, how much we know that. We know it more and more as we get older, that self-will that's inside us. There's one thing that is characteristic, as I understand, about sheep. I remember my uncle had quite a few sheep. And you will find, in most cases, perhaps this isn't the case over in some other lands where the shepherds are with them all the time, but you will find in most cases that with sheep that there's a pretty good fence that's around the outside. And the reason why they put a good fence around the outside where the sheep are is because if they get through, if one gets through, the others follow. The others follow. And another thing is that they don't come back. They don't know their way back. They're lost. They go astray. So we have the Lord Jesus tells us the story in Luke 15 about seeking the one sheep that was lost. He left the 99 in the wilderness and he went after that which was lost. Until he found it. And when he found the sheep, what did he do with it? Oh, it's such a beautiful story. Because it says that he took it and he laid it on his shoulders and said, "Oh, what a naughty sheep you are." Is that what he said? No, it says he laid it on his shoulders rejoicing. I found my sheep that was lost. He didn't stop looking. Are you lost tonight? Are you lost? The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. In this world, boys and girls, older ones here, it's going downhill. It's going downhill. It's going on to judgment. It's being painted up to be such a beautiful place, and somehow the leaders in the various lands are hoping to escape from the various problems that perplex society today. But it's going away from God more and more. And the only book that gives us an answer to the future of this world, to your life and mine, is this one here. Oh, it's so wonderful to have this book, to have it open in our hands, to learn verses from this book. You know, sometimes we go to funerals. You go to a funeral of someone that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior. I heard somebody just told me within the last week or so of going to a funeral of a girl that died, a lady that died, and there was not a word that was said about Jesus. There was not a word that was said about where she had gone. You know, it's in here. God has opened up. He's pulled the curtain back to tell us of what's beyond this life. He tells us the secret for ourselves. He tells us the true condition of ourselves. He tells about the destiny ahead. And man, in general, is refusing it. But he says here, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Tells us here, a little later on, he laid down his life. He laid it down. Nobody took it from him. Yes, they led him up to Calvary's hill where they crucified him. But boys and girls and older ones here, He laid down his life for you. He laid it down. He didn't have to. He gave his life. You know, when soldiers go to war, they risk their lives. They hope they're not going to have to give their life. But Jesus came and he knew that he's going to die. Someone had to take your place if you were not going to go to the lake of fire. Have you taken Jesus as your Savior? Have you done that? I remember a young boy, when I say young boy, 16 years old. And his name was Carlos. And we were talking to him about salvation. And, you know, he listened pretty carefully. Now, this may sound a little bit strange, but it was right at Christmas time, and this is what we did. Pulled $50 out of our pocket. Said, "Carlos, this is for you." Well, this shocked him. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know whether to reach out and take it or whatever. So I said to him, "Is it yours?" And he still didn't know what to say. I said, "Carlos, it's for you, but it won't be yours until you take it." What do you think he did? What do you think he did? Yes, I don't know your name, but this first boy here, what's your name? What is it? Luke? Luke, what do you think he did? I held that out for him. What do you think he did? He took it. And then it belonged to him. I didn't take it back. It belonged to him. Now the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Oh, that was $50. That was an awful lot. For him, he was surprised, very surprised. But God offers to give anyone who will take it eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Have you ever taken it? You know it's true, don't you? You know what we're saying is true, because it's from the Word of God. But have you acted on it? Have you taken it? It won't be yours until you take it. Are there any more five words in the Bible? Somebody's nodding their head there. I won't say who it is. Tell me.
"My sheep hear my voice."
Thank you. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, my. "My sheep hear my voice." That's the Lord again. "My sheep hear my voice." Now, let's turn to Psalm 23, and when you're turning to it without even looking at the place, I wonder if somebody can tell me the first five words of Psalm 23 without even looking. There's a girl at the back. Yes. That's, how many words is that? Five. I'm going to tell you a story about that. Oh, that's the whole psalm. It's so beautiful. "The Lord is my shepherd." You know, I may not have all the details quite correct in connection with this story, but this is about a boy that was dying. And he hadn't, I don't know if he'd ever heard about the Lord Jesus before, and he was just young and he was dying and weak, couldn't take much in. And a man who was a Christian went to visit him. The boy was in the hospital. And so this man, he taught him those five words. The Lord is my shepherd. And then the man said, can you say the Lord is my shepherd and hold your whole other hand around that one figure? The Lord is my shepherd, that he belongs to me. So he just taught him, that man, that Christian man taught him those five words, the Lord is my shepherd, and then he left him. Well, he went back to see him. I don't know if it was the next day, a couple days later or whatever, and the boy had already died. And he was so sad that he missed seeing him again. So he said to the nurse or somebody, how did he die? Well, she said it was kind of different because he died holding on to his one finger. You see, he had been repeating to himself those five words. And as he moved from this life into the next life, he was holding on to that. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, dear boys and girls, dear older ones here, it's so personal. Have you ever taken for your own? The Lord is my shepherd. One time, somebody said in connection with this, a little girl was learning the verse and she said it wrong. Lord is my shepherd, what more can I want? Will you have him? He wants you. He died for you. Let's turn to Amos. The book of Amos. I think I know the place. I think it's, yes, Amos 4 and 12. Anybody see the five words here that I'm looking for in Amos 4 and 12? Who found it? Yes. Yes. Sometimes you can buy Bible, buy stickers to put on the back of a car. Did that. I remember when I was teenager, early 20s, I had that on the back of a car. Then I was embarrassed about driving around with having that sticker on my car. Prepare to meet thy God. And then I sold the car and I sold it to a man who was a Christian. And it was a little Morris Minor, if I recall, car. And so we ended up making a deal in connection with the price of it. And he said, David, couldn't you put on a sticker, something like love thy neighbor? Instead of putting on prepare to meet thy God. It's kind of a jolt, you know. I don't think you find it too much on cars today. Prepare to meet thy God. But it's so necessary to have the reality of it before, because every one of us are traveling on this road of life and we're going to leave it someday. And the scripture says, be ready. So here's another five words. Prepare to meet thy God. Now there's another one I'm thinking of that's in the book of Jonah. Anybody know what it is? Turn to Jonah. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. It's found in chapter 2. It's near the end of the chapter. That's it. Verse 9, very last five words. Salvation is of the Lord. What happened as soon as Jonah said those five words? He was delivered. God had that fish deliver him out of the sea, and he landed on dry ground. Oh, to think of the Lord Jesus dying on the cross. I look at that cross. Physically, of course, I can't do it. But I love to think of that cross. And though there, think of the words almost above it. Salvation is of the Lord. Now there's another one that's pretty close to that in the words. And it's found in Proverbs chapter 21, I think it is. Some of us have seen this many times on a bus, one particular bus. Proverbs 21, the last verse and the last five words. Anybody find it? Can you read it? Yes. You want me to tell you about that bus? That bus is in Newfoundland. It's owned by a Mr. Cecil Rusink. And that verse is on the inside. And there he picks up all these children for Sunday school. And there you walk in the door of the bus, you walk down and you sit in the bus, and then you look toward the front. And there on the inside the front, those five words. Safety is of the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. Now those are five words. Our time is about gone. Those are our five words that I was thinking of. Did anyone find any other five words that maybe we should have a look at just before we stop? Anyone? Bob.
Behold the Lamb.
Oh, thank you. Why did I forget that? Where's it found, brother?
John 1:29.
Let's turn to it. John 1:29, and then also 35, is it? 36? Oh. Behold the Lamb of God. You know who said those words? Right on. John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. What do you think he was thinking of when he said those words? Oh, I believe with all my heart, he was thinking, finally, no more need for sacrificial animals. The one lamb that God has provided to take away the sin of the world, Jesus. And he says to the people, behold him. Look at him. There on the cross, Jesus. I'll give you another five words. Found in, well, let's turn to it. Revelation 1. Revelation 1. And verse, it's in this verse. I'm thinking of these five words in verse 7. Every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. Oh, dear friends, in this world where people are going on to judgment and they don't even realize what's ahead, remember, every eye shall see him. They say, you can have your religion, I will have my religion. I don't have to believe in Jesus. I believe he was just a great prophet. And they say all kinds of things. But you know, there's a verse, I believe it's in Acts chapter 10, that says, he is Lord of all. Another five words. He is Lord of all. Every eye shall see him. And the last person that a man who leaves this world without Christ, the last person he will see, I believe, is going to be the face of the Lamb of God. And then to leave this world and go into eternity. Oh, is it serious? Is it important? Yes, it is. May the Lord work deep. You know, I can't sell the gospel to you. I can't push it on you. Only you can receive it as the Lord, as your Savior. You'll hear him. If you will answer the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I think of it, you know, that here 2,000 years since the cross, the Lord gone back to heaven. Sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And soon he's going to rise and he's going to come and he's going to take all the believers out of this world. Would you be left behind for the judgment of God to land in a lost eternity, the lake of fire, and be there forever? It's so solemn to think of. May the Lord bless his word. Now, I want to quote the verse in 1 John 1 and verse 7, because it's so important. He's quoted the verse about all have sinned. He mentioned about Christ died for our sins. 1 John 1 and 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. Are all your sins gone? You know, the last act that man did to Jesus, the last act in hatred that man did to Jesus, drew forth the blood to save. The last act. Does God love this world? You know he does, and he loves you. May God grant nobody will leave without Christ tonight. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee for giving it.